views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. So glad you're joining us here where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from Hubbard Radio on 1150 AM KKNW in the Seattle area. You might be listening on WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, on Transformation Talk Radio, or if you're not listening live, you might be listening to the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever and whenever you're listening, you're going to be glad you joined us because we are going to be talking about connecting to your intuition. And we're going to be taking it from a slightly different vantage point, and we've got some interesting techniques to hear about. But before we get into who our guest is, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
Hi, Christine. How are you? I like how you said that because we had an earlier conversation, Mathers.
Did I say Mathers?
Well, I thought you were making a play on our previous conversation, but I guess not. So
it's an inside joke, folks. Yeah, totally. You know, you had to be here as a fly on the wall.
Hey, it's happy National Leave Work Early Day.
Is it really?
I'm done, folks.
No, bye-bye.
That has nothing to do with you. I might be out of here. Like, no, I'd never leave you. That's funny.
Yeah, but this is the end of Benny's work week, this show. So, you know, if we end up having a glitch and suddenly you don't hear the rest of the show, you know, it's because Benny's gone home to celebrate the national holiday.
Yeah. Or I'll celebrate the National Donut Day because that's the other one.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a lot of sugar been floating around here today.
Oh, interesting. Mm. And I missed that.
I passed on it. Because I want to leave work early instead.
You can still only celebrate one national holiday at a time, right?
Exactly. So much going on. Oh, and National Rotisserie Chicken Day, too.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, right?
How do you learn these things, Benny?
It's online. Everything's online. You know, it's all believable.
Of course, anything you read
there's
online.
There's like 4 days in today.
Interesting.
There's National Day for anything. There should be National Christine Day.
No.
I didn't. Why not?
Well, you know.
Okay, we'll work on that one. You don't sound too impressed.
I don't know if the Christines in the world are important enough to have a national holiday.
I think so.
Well, so then there are more than 365 names, so we'd have a problem, you know. I guess we can double
up,
though.
Okay.
I can't believe how tangential this conversation has gone.
I'd love a National Benny Day.
Oh, yes. Well, you definitely deserve
one. Well,
see,
why can't you just own up to
it? Okay, thank you, Benny.
Okay, I'll stop.
Yeah. You know, we're going to be talking today to Atherton Drenth, which is a mouthful, but she is filled with wisdom, and it's a name you will not forget after hearing the conversation today. Atherton is a clairvoyant, a medical intuitive. She's a holistic energy practitioner, and she's been in a private practice for over 16 years. And listen to this. She's conducted over 35,000 healing balances on clients from around the world. She's an author. She, Following the Body Wisdom was from December of 2009, offering an ideal go-to guide for those looking to discover the unique benefits of energy medicine and how to use it effectively and safely for their own personal well-being. She's the author and creator of The Vertical Axis, which is an audio MP3 recording that teaches a listener one of the most powerful grounding techniques available today. And I know many of us in the consciousness community could use some grounding, particularly at this time when we need to ground that light, that high vibrational energy onto this planet. She's a contributing author to the bestseller 365 Days of Grace, and her latest book is called The Intuitive Dance, Building, Protecting, and Clearing Your Energy. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Atherton Drenth. Hi, Atherton.
Hi, Christine.
You know, I was fascinated by learning your history about how you sort of embraced your own intuition. Can you just share with our listeners how you began to open up to your own intuitive gifts?
Sure. Well, I mean, I was fortunate in the fact that when I was a child, I was very intuitive, and my parents were also very intuitive, and they embraced it. And I spent most of my childhood learning how to keep it to myself because I was a little bit too quick to the chase, and I was a little blunt. Uh-huh. So I was received lots of lessons in learning how to keep it to myself.
Right. And kids on the schoolyard will do that, right?
Yes. And then I became very ill 17 years ago, and I had a near-death experience. And I was given a choice on whether to live or die. And at first I chose to accept death because I'd been going through an incredibly stressful time in my life. Uh-huh. And it was easier just to leave. And as I started to float up to heaven, I was overwhelmed with this feeling of deep, supreme bliss and love. But as I started to float up out of my body, I suddenly realized, oh, I don't really think I can leave my husband to raise two teenagers on his own. So I just called out, can I change my mind, please? Uh-huh. And I heard a bit of a chuckle, and I was, you know, the next morning I woke up and I started to show some improvement. Anyways, that led to me being sent to see a young man who was a healer, and he was the one that found out what was wrong with me and helped me to get better. But he told me that I could do this. He could tell that I was very intuitive, and I was shocked that he would understand that. Mm-hmm. Because I never told anybody I was intuitive. I never talked about it.
Right.
But he, and I had never discussed it with him, and then he offered to train me to work in the healing arts, and so I took the training. And this whole world just opened up for me, and I felt like I had spent my whole life waiting for this moment. And then I suddenly realized that this ability that I had is a gift that everybody has. We just lost touch with it. Mm-hmm. And just like me, I didn't know how to access it, and I didn't know that there were different types of intuition, mm-hmm. and I didn't realize that I could develop it. And so I started exploring all of that, and then I was opening up my healing practice. I found more and more people were coming to me, and they were also struggling with the fact that they didn't know what this was, called intuition.
So before we get into the different types of intuition, how do you define intuition?
Well, intuition is just that knowing without knowing why you know. And you just,
say that again, because that's really great. That's a succinct definition.
You just know things without understanding why you know.
Okay.
You just know.
That's great. And so what are the different types of intuition?
Well, there's four primary types of intuition. There's clairvoyant, which is clear seeing, which is what I am predominantly. The next one is claircognizance, which is just knowing. It's the hunches. Men have a tendency to be very claircognizant. The next is clairaudient, which is clear hearing. Musicians, for example, have a tendency to be highly clairaudient because they can hear the music in their minds.
Right.
And then the last one is clairsentience. And clairsentience is clear feeling. And a majority of women and children are clairsentient, and that's feeling other people's feelings. It's the empath. It's the highly sensitive person.
Right. And can people be a mix?
Yes, because we have all four, but one will be more predominant than the other. And I find that once you figure out what your dominant type is and you focus in on your dominant type and culture it, nurture it, get comfortable with it, then the other three techniques just naturally start to fall into place and you don't doubt it as much.
Right. So, Atherton, is there a connection between people's learning styles and their type of intuition? Because the learning styles are what? Visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, right? Those are the three primary learning styles. Does it connect in the same way? I mean, does it connect to the intuitive style?
Well, you know, it's interesting they should bring that up because you are so dead on with that. I know that when I was growing up, I was labeled as having a learning disability, but my mother helped me to understand that I was very tachystophic in the way I learned. She said, so long as you're doing it with your hands, you can figure it out, and she was right.
Yes.
So I can't memorize. I mean, I'm a voracious reader, but I can't memorize. But if I do something with my hands, then I never forget it.
Right.
And for me as a clairvoyant, if I am trying to remember something, if I build pictures in my mind, if I create a movie in my mind, then I can remember things. And I remember years ago working with a woman who was highly clairaudient, and she could remember anything anybody said.
Right. Yeah,
so, and yes, you're dead on with that.
So from my perspective, it's kind of like that. That's the way the brain is wired to receive and to imprint the information. Mm-hmm. And like I'm a visual learner, and I'm, you know, somewhat kinesthetic and less auditory. And for me, the clairaudient stuff is much more infrequent than the claircognizant or the mm-hmm. clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I thought there might be a connection. Anyway,
yeah.
We're going to learn more about what the gifts and the drawbacks, potential drawbacks, can be for each of these and how we can tune in to this great gift that each of us have. So we're going to go to a quick break now. More with Atherton in just a few moments.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-9000. 972-5366.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Atherton Drenth, the author of The Intuitive Dance. Now, before the break, Atherton, you were talking about the four different types of intuition. Can uh-huh. you sort of share with our listeners examples from each of the types and then talk about the strengths and the weaknesses with each?
Sure. So being a clairvoyant means it's clear seeing. So you have visions in your mind It can come through as pictures, movies, flashes of insight. People who are predominantly clairvoyant are big picture thinkers. They can see from the 50,000-foot view, and they can see outcomes to projects. They love organizing things. They love their daytimers.
Right.
And they're great problem solvers because they can see more than one solution to a problem, which can be a little struggling for mothers who are highly clairvoyant.
Why is that?
Because if their kids come to them and say, well, I want to do this, the mother can see like 10 different things that can go wrong.
Uh-huh.
So they can drive the kids a little bit crazy.
Right.
The downside of being a clairvoyant is the fact that they can be very resistant to change. They can be a little arrogant, and they can be inflexible because they just know what they know.
Right. And I was working with somebody recently doing a session, and I kept seeing piles of paperwork all over the place. So that was the visual that came to me. And as it turns out, she had been working on an organizational project, and it was kind of like, It was kind of like the mountain that she needed to climb, the proverbial mountain. So it was kind of like, I had no idea why I was seeing it, but it was just in my mind repeatedly, you know, these piles of paperwork on a table that she was kind of, you know, wandering around and kind of touching and moving. So I think that's probably my greatest strength, although claircognizant, which we'll get into maybe as well. But so that's a sort of visual. What about dreams? If people get imagery in dreams, does that mean that they're clairvoyant?
Not necessarily, because a lot of people do have very visual dreams.
Uh-huh.
Clairvoyants will have a tendency to have very vivid dreams. They have a tendency to dream in color. It's easier for them to remember for some reason.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And symbols will become more... You know, clairvoyants who are remembering their dreams really get into the symbolic messages that happen in their dreams.
Yes, okay.
Because it's so important to them.
Uh-huh.
So the next one would be the clairsentient, and the clairsentients are the clear feelers. And they are the most loving and empathetic and compassionate of people. They make the finest of best friends. They always have that knack of being the right person in the right place at the right time. They always know what to do. They always show up at dinner parties with the perfect food.
Uh-huh.
They make everybody feel comfortable. Clairsentients, however, struggle the most because they feel everybody's stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it really throws them off. And highly sensitive people really struggle with this, people who have panic attacks, people who are struggling with being out in public.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is because clairsentients don't understand that when they're feeling, they're not asking the primary question, is this mine or somebody else's?
Right.
So the end result is that when they feel something, they think that they've either caused it or they've created it or they need to fix it.
Uh-huh.
And because they're so compassionate and because they're so empathetic, it will send them into a tailspin.
Right, right. It sounds like they're not great at they have to consciously set the boundaries associated with it.
Yes, and then they have to realize that the other people have choice and they're not responsible for how people react.
Uh-huh.
Emotional boundaries are very tricky for clairsentients.
So clairsentience, does that mean that they feel it in their physical bodies? Does it mean that they're feeling it emotionally? Give me a couple of examples of how a clairsentient would experience that intuition.
Okay, so a good example of a clairsentient is, for example, I was at work one day and I felt great and I went to have lunch with a colleague of mine, and the minute I sat down across from her, my tooth started to hurt and I thought, uh-huh. Oh, good grief, I'm going to have to go see the dentist. I hope I don't need a root canal.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I said to my friend, oh, my tooth is hurting. She goes, oh, really? Mine is too. Did I tell you I had a root canal this morning and it still really hurts? And then I went, oh, wow, this isn't mine. Thank you.
Right.
The other is clairsentients, when they walk into a room, they can pick up on the temperature in a room at a moment's notice.
Uh-huh.
They know whether somebody's happy or sad or if this is going to be a great party or whether they should just go home.
Uh-huh. So they're good at reading sort of the emotional temperature, so to speak.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. And so how do they answer the is it mine or is it theirs kind of question?
Well, that's where they just have to check in and say, for example, oh, my tooth hurts. So is this my tooth or is it somebody else's tooth?
Uh-huh.
And intuitively, if they go, well, you know, I'm not sure, it's not theirs. Because if it is there, the body will go, oh, yeah, your tooth hurts. You need to do something about this.
Okay.
Just like if they walk into a room and they suddenly feel sad, they need to ask, is this my sadness or somebody else's sadness?
Right.
Because they were fine before they walked through the door.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
And again, their intuition will always say, yep, yours, or, well, I don't know. Nope, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any doubt, it doesn't belong to you.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got clairvoyant, clairsentient. What's the next type?
So the next would be a clairaudient, and that's clear hearing.
Mm-hmm.
They have the best ability for understanding and receiving intuitive information and guidance.
Uh-huh.
They get very specific answers. And isn't it lovely when you can hear, yes, do this, or no, don't do that?
Yes, yes.
They are very articulate. They will think before they speak. They are usually very musically inclined.
Oh, interesting.
Very good with languages. They are very particular about their music. They're very particular about sound. They can't stand ambient noises.
Uh-huh.
Cannot stand it. The upside of being the clairaudient is the fact that you're getting these messages so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is it's the one thing you don't want to bring up to your doctor. So I hear these voices in my head.
Oh, yes.
They can be easily ruled by their egos.
Uh-huh.
They have a hard time trusting their inner guidance because they don't know the difference between their ego voice and the voice of the inner divine.
Right.
And it takes them a while to understand the difference between that.
Uh-huh.
They are the least likely to trust themselves. They can come on too strong. They are people who just love the sound of their own voices.
Uh-huh.
And they're the person who just doesn't shut up at a party sometimes.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's funny because I tend not to be all that clairaudient, and yet when I was in my early 20s and I was walking along, I heard like this. It sounded like a disembodied voice in my head saying, you're a healer. And I'm like, what the heck? And I thought that it was my ego voice talking. And I heard that voice again, and I ignored it. And then ultimately I ended up getting cancer a few years later and had to heal myself. But, you know, so proof that I was indeed a healer. But anyway, it's like, for me, it's kind of a surprise when I hear that. But you're saying for some people, that kind of, you know, the dialogue, so to speak, comes with ease.
Yeah, yeah, it is very easy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So then the last is being a claircognizant. And the claircognizant is just, they just know. They've got strong hunches. So men in particular will say, you know, I just have a hunch that if I go over here, we'll be able to find what we're looking for. And they're right, you know?
Right.
So they are very quick thinkers. They're very spontaneous. They are quickly adaptable. They're strong negotiators. So they often end up being in negotiation positions.
Uh-huh.
They are considered to be people with astute instincts, strong judges of character. They have a lot of synchronicity in their lives, and they always have a tendency to know when something's going to work out and when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
The downside to being a claircognizant is that they can have a really hard time trusting their instincts.
Mm-hmm.
They have difficulty fitting into groups because they can come across as being very rude or impatient or arrogant.
Right.
They tolerate fools. They have no tolerance for fools.
Uh-huh.
And they can cut people off at the kneecaps before they even open their mouth.
Oh, dear. Which does sound very cooperative.
Yeah. But you know, a lot of CEOs have a tendency to be highly clairvoyant and claircognizant.
Uh huh.
You know, because they're the big picture thinkers, they don't suffer fools lightly. They walk into a room, they want the one page summary. You know, bang, bang, bang. Okay, good, thank you. And they walk out of the room, and everybody's like, okay, so what just happened here?
Right. So I know that you related these to the different chakras, and I know that with the clair. Cognizant that you were just talking about, that relates to the crown chakra, correct?
Mm-hmm. The crown and the heart.
The crown and the heart.
Crown or the heart, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
The clairaudient is there's a center just above their ears. So if people put their thumbs in their ears and then just touch just above with their index finger just above their ears, they'll find their clairaudient center.
Oh.
And it's a little tender, actually, when you touch it.
Interesting. Okay.
It's over the temporal area.
Right.
Clairvoyance, it's the third eye.
Right.
It's predominant. And then with the clairsentience, it's the solar plexus.
That makes sense.
And they get a lot of gut aches. you know. Uh-huh. So this is one of the reasons why we recognize clairsentience is so dominant in small children, because they're always having phantom tummy aches, right?
Right.
And it's because something's going on at school or at home, and they don't have the emotional language to discuss it, so they feel it in their bodies.
Okay. So there are four different types, and you say that everybody has this gift, but we either forget how to use it or don't develop it. Why is it important that we learn how to tap into our intuition?
Well, you know, I think that we do ourselves a great disservice when we don't give ourselves permission to acknowledge our intuition, because when we're in touch with our intuition, it removes so much of the stress and anxiety in our lives because there's more clarity. Our intuition, I always say that our intuition is the bridge between the ego voice and our inner divine.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that connection to the inner divine. We all have that inner wisdom, and our intuition gets us there. And if we can understand the difference between our ego voice, which is always nattering away at us and you know, giving us a hard time, we can use our intuition as a way to circumvent the ego's fears. You can't do anything right and say, well, you know, let's take another look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to that divine wisdom. I know that for me, when I finally gave myself permission to listen to my intuition and to follow it, the stress and anxiety in my life reduced dramatically.
Which, of course, has a positive physical effect as well.
Well, exactly, yes.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to go to a quick break, but when we return, we're going to be talking to Atherton about the vertical axis. And this is, it's a technique that's important to help us be more aligned and feel better. More with Atherton Drenth here in just a few moments.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Be unstoppable. Who do executive women count on for up-to-date information on everything from stilettos to being heard in the boardroom? To achieve excellence, you must first take control of your life and develop a successful strategy with the Unstoppable Diva. Tune in to Up or Out with Connie Fife, Mondays 5 p.m. Eastern, as she cuts through the BS to guide you to become bold, connected, and unstoppable. For more information, visit uporout.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. That music will live forever in our hearts, won't it, Benny?
Absolutely, 100%. The Allman Brothers, and unfortunately we lost Greg this last week, and or earlier last weekend, so the memorial service is up, and so many greats are just, they're doing their thing.
I know, I know. It's the baby boomer generation, and it's sad to see them go. Today we are talking to Atherton Drenth. She's the author of The Intuitive Dance, and I'm so glad you've joined us here again for this conversation. And I just have to read to you what Christiane Northup has to say about this book. The Intuitive Dance is one delightful book, jam-packed with real-life examples of how to change your beliefs and thoughts to create a more peaceful and joy-filled life. You know, Atherton, you've talked about the various types of intuitive styles, and you've also talked about the pluses, the minuses. But I'm really interested in hearing more about this technique that you've developed called the vertical axis. What is it?
So the vertical axis is the most powerful grounding technique that I've ever come across, and I've developed it over the years.
I want people to understand why we need to get grounded.
Well, you know, we need to be grounded so that we can not only be clear about our own gifts and our own intuition, but what it does is it helps to reduce the fear in our lives. It reduces stress and anxiety, and I think that that is the number one primary benefit of doing the vertical axis every day. Because when you are grounded and you are managing and reducing the fear and reducing your stress and anxiety, it's easier for you to make decisions. It is helping you to manage your emotions. It's helping you to be clear about what's right for you and what isn't right for you. So in other words, it helps you to develop strong, loving, and compassionate emotional boundaries.
Right. And so energetically, what does it mean to ground?
To ground, traditionally, grounding meant grounding into Mother Earth. But we find that that is no longer enough. And the trigger for that was Mother Earth coming to healers and saying, please don't ground into the core anymore. There's too much turmoil happening here. And what I want you to do is I want you to connect to my soul, which is the intelligence of nature.
Interesting.
So that was the beginning.
So it's kind of like the larger grid system as opposed, like the energetic grid system as opposed to the Earth itself.
Yes. Okay. And you're connecting to the entire planet and to the entire universe.
Right.
So you're connecting to the the intelligence of nature. And then in order to be fully grounded, grounding into spiritual intelligence and bringing the two of them together into the heart, which forms the vertical axis.
Okay.
And then those two energies begin to dance together and brings you into this place of divine love and connection, not only to Mother Earth, but to the spiritual divine.
Right.
And then you can open up your heart and you can start sending that out into your own energy field, out to your family, your community. And what I love more than anything is sending it out to the planet, which is what we need more than anything else right now, don't we?
You're not kidding. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's very easy to do. You can do it in less than a minute.
Okay. So what's entailed?
Entailed is just taking a deep breath, imagining or pretending that you can see a root coming down from your tailbone, going deep down into the earth, spreading out for miles and miles and miles, asking to be connected to the intelligence of nature, drawing that energy up through that root like water through a straw. You're drawing it up into every cell of your being, into every aspect of your energy field. You're watching that come up through the top of your head and flowing over you like water through a fountain. Then you are imagining or pretending that you can look up through the top of your head up into the heavens and asking for permission to connect to spiritual intelligence. There's a beam of light that comes down. It's very warm. It comes down into your core. It fills up every cell of your being and all aspects of your energy field and runs down into the earth. Then I have people come into their heart, watch the energy of the intelligence of nature coming up, the energy of spiritual intelligence coming down, and having the two come together and dance like sunlight on the water, mm-hmm. and then allowing them to feel the divine love that comes with that. And then sending that love out into their every cell of their being, mm-hmm. to their energy field, and then out into the world.
So, Atherton, one of the things I love about this is it seems to me that up until this point, most teachers teach these two things compartmentalized. You're either mm-hmm. grounding mm-hmm. or you're connecting to the divine, as opposed mm-hmm. to integrating the two. Mm-hmm. Why is it important that we integrate these things as you do in the vertical axis technique?
Because we need to begin to accept the fact that we are all connected. We have to stop acting like we are individuals and what we say or do or think doesn't matter to anybody else. Because we are all connected. We are drops of water in the larger ocean of life, and we need to start working together in collective consciousness of love and understanding so that not only are we helping ourselves by being honest with what is right for us, but we are also being honest in our collective energy and what's happening to the planet.
Mm, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, Atherton, when somebody does this technique, how does their energy shift? I mean, do you have visuals associated with it? Do you have a sense of knowingness? How does a person change by doing this?
Well, you know, for the clairvoyant, they're going to have the visual of, they're going to be able to see the roots, and they're just going to be able to visualize that connection. The clairsentient is going to be able to feel it. The clairaudient will hear it, and the claircognizant will just know it. The vertical axis is very fluid. It can change every time you do it. But most of all, what I find by doing it on a daily basis, there's just this sense of inner calm and peacefulness. And for me, what I've noticed is that my mind got quiet. So instead of having that voice nattering away all the time, I developed these periods, long periods of silence. And now I know when I'm out of balance, because then all of a sudden my voice, my little ego voice starts up.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's having that mind silence that is so beautiful, because it keeps me in the moment so that I'm much more clear about what's going on around me.
Right, right. So if we develop this kind of intuitive clarity and we start to develop these kinds of energetic boundaries is the way I view them,
mm-hmm.
Then how does that empower us in our lives?
Well, what it means is you become much more clear about what's right for you and what's wrong for you. And it doesn't mean that you're imposing your will on others,
right?
But it means you're very clear about your own choices and about your own free will. Does that make sense?
Right, right. And so, can you share some examples about people who've used this technique and how it's affected their lives and sort of like their, you know, in their reality?
Mm-hmm. Well, we did actually the research study a couple of years ago, and we had 30 volunteers, and we asked them to do what I call the three simple things, the vertical axis, cord cutting, and dream time management.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is we had them fill out a questionnaire before the study began. And then they were tasked with doing the vertical axis every morning and every night, and then every evening doing the cord cutting and dream time management.
Uh-huh.
We had them come back at day 20. We measured their blood pressure. We measured their urine pH and uh-huh. their heart rate. And then we asked them to fill out the questionnaire again. But this time the questions were mixed up. It was in a different order.
Uh-huh.
And then we had them come back at day 40 and do the same thing again. And what we started to notice is that blood pressure came down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but the most dramatic result for everyone, and they all noticed it, was the fact that they felt more calm,
uh-huh.
they were more peaceful, they were sleeping better, they were making healthier choices. People were who had been trying to get into a regular exercise program started to exercise on a regular basis. People who had been trying to lose weight were more conscious of their food choices, and they were starting to show signs of losing weight.
Uh-huh.
And there were two women in particular who were going through some very traumatic emotional challenges. One was losing her mother, and one was losing her child.
And they said
that doing the vertical axis and doing the cord cutting and the dream time management for them was the only thing that helped them to maintain their sanity through the choices that they had to make. So people found that it had reduced their stress and anxiety by up to 50%, which was pretty dramatic.
That's very dramatic, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested in the cord cutting and the dream time management as well, but we're going to have to go to another quick break. Stay tuned for more with Atherton Drenth in just a few moments.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Memories fall like rain. Remind you to take it slow. One step at a time, baby. Till you find your way back to the big show. Places you've been, things that you've done. You're somehow still on the run.
Welcome back. We're so glad you're here joining us for the fourth and final segment on the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and, of course, Transformation Talk Radio. This hour is flying by, Atherton, and I really want to get to the cord cutting because that, first of all, tell us what cord cutting is sort of on a higher level perspective and why it's important, and then maybe you could share some of your techniques.
Sure. So there are three types of energy that comes into the body. The first one is the one that comes in through the belly button, and that's called the silver cord of life, and that's between the person and the divine, and nobody touches that.
Okay.
Because that's your contract with God and the higher source. The next are love cords, and love cords are there with everybody that you love, you know, families, pets, children. And angels never cut love cords. I don't cut love cords. You can cut a love cord, but that is your personal choice, and that's free will, and you do that on your own if you need to.
Okay.
But angels don't touch love cords. Love is a gift from God, so you don't remove that. Fear cords, on the other hand, are sticky. They are an energetic nuisance. It's like getting wrapped up in twine, getting covered in cat hair, and they become debilitating after a while, and they can build up. Fear cords are very common between parents and their children, and they can create problems with toxic relationships.
Uh-huh.
So it's important that you cut them. So the way I do it is I call in Archangel Michael, and I just ask him if he would please cut or remove all cords with everyone I've been in contact with on that day.
Uh-huh.
Because we have to remember that our energy fields are interacting with other people's energy fields, and there's going to be a static cling, for lack of better words.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to pick up energy from people at the grocery store or, you know, talking to the telephone rep. And you want to clear all of that out. I find that fear cord removals with children in particular are very, very effective. I mean, I know better than to make fear cords, but they just happen.
Uh-huh.
So I do fear cord cutting with my kids on a regular basis, and now I'm a grandmother, so I'm doing even more of them.
Uh-huh, right.
And they just happen. And if they build up over time, it can create problems with not wanting to talk to a parent or a sibling,
uh-huh,
because there's a lot of old hurt that just builds up and builds up. And they can become very debilitating. They can affect your health. So doing cord cutting on a regular basis, and I do them religiously every night, can go a long way to making things just a lot easier, a lot cleaner.
Mm-hmm. So can you give us some concrete examples of how a fear cord would get created? Let's say within a context of a toxic relationship, for instance.
So say there has been sibling rivalry is a classic example of a fear cord that just grows and grows and grows. So you've got two kids who are mad that mommy and daddy had the nerve to have another child,
uh-huh,
and they never get along, and they just fight constantly. And it just gets worse and worse and worse as they get older, and by the time they're adults and they're teenagers, they can barely stand to be in the same room with each other because they've never gotten over their anger and their fear and their jealousy of each other. Do a fear cord cutting between those two people, and you would be surprised at how quickly that relationship will heal.
Really?
Another classic example is a gentleman I worked with years ago, married to his childhood sweetheart, happily married for 40 years. His wife was out of town on a business trip. He woke up in the middle of the night, and he just knew that his wife was dead.
Oh, dear.
Sure enough, 10 minutes later, the phone rings, and it's the police calling to say that his wife has just been killed by a drunk driver.
Oh.
He is absolutely devastated. He said that 3 weeks after the funeral, he was getting dressed in the morning, and he just happened to catch a glimpse of his chest in the sunlight, and he said, "My chest has gone concave," and he was having trouble breathing.
Right.
So when I was working with him, we realized that the death of his wife had created such fear of loss in him that it was like somebody had taken a fence post and rammed it into his chest.
Wow.
And his chest had literally collapsed in on itself. So when we did the fear cord removal for that, his chest went back to normal within a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, those are two classic examples of fear cords.
So you talk about fear cords. Are they always connected between people, or are they sometimes not?
Well, you can have them with pets. Okay, you know, if a child has grown up being afraid of cats, then uh-huh, they can have fear cord with all cats. You can have fear cords with a belief. You can have,
okay,
fear cords with a system. So these are all things that can be very easily removed so that there can be a healthier perspective,
okay,
that will develop and healing. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean all the problems are going to be resolved. you know, I have to laugh when I do fear cord cutting between women and their mothers, you know, because they always say the same thing. They come back a few weeks later and they say, well, you know, sure enough, the minute I walked through the door, mommy was on the phone and she was at it again, you know, and she just wouldn't leave it alone. But, you know, for the first time in my life, I could stand there and I could listen to it and I wasn't upset and I didn't get angry. And I just said, gee, Mom, I'm sorry you feel that way. I love you. Goodbye. And hung up.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And I hear that story all the time.
So it creates the detachment instead of the connection to the old, like, programming.
Yes, it takes the emotional charge out of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you talk about emotional blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, and how do you deal with it?
Well, emotional blackmail is the a type of put-down that makes you feel powerless and ineffective. They are emotionally crippling and life-limiting. I think it is one of the most pervasive forms of bullying that we don't look at enough.
Huh.
It's a very subtle form of verbal abuse. Emotional blackmailers get their needs met by making you do what they want, using guilt, shame, threats of isolation, such as, oh, you know, you don't love me anymore. It's insidious, it's pervasive, it's frustrating, because you can find yourself backing down even when you don't want to. Because ultimately, people who are do emotional blackmail trick you into believing that you are not worthy of love and or attention, so you will do anything to get them to love you again.
Wow.
So the trick to dealing with it, so emotional blackmail statements are, the classics are, so you don't love me anymore, or, oh, you're smarter than me now, or, well, I guess you don't care about me anymore, or if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself. That's the classic.
Right.
That's the big one.
Right.
And the trick to dealing with emotional blackmailers is understanding that anything that they say or do, no matter how much they make it about you, no matter how much they pull your name into it or the stories, what they're really doing is it's only, they're only talking about themselves. So if they say, well, you don't love me anymore, you flip it and say, oh, I don't know how to love myself anymore. Okay?
Right, right. That makes sense.
And I think that it's something that we need to address. You can have it between couples. You can have entire families that are involved in it.
Right.
People who are trapped in this endless cycle of poverty. You know, I call it the crab barrel mentality. And I love this story of the fact that if you go down to the fisherman's wharf and they have all their barrels of, you know, clams and lobsters and clams, they never have to put the lid on the clam barrel or on the crab barrel. Because the minute one crab figures out how to get out, the other crabs will pull them back in.
Really?
And emotional blackmailers are always pulling you back into their fear, back into your mess, back into their mess. Okay?
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've only gotten to two of the three simple things. And, of course, you can read Atherton Drenth's book, The Intuitive Dance. Before we sign off today, I want you to share with our listeners how they can connect with you.
Well, I have my website, which is athertondrenth.ca, and that's spelled athertondrenth.ca.
Okay, let's repeat that again. athertondrenth.ca.
Yes. And then the other website is Paradigm Center, and that is spelled paradigmcenter.ca.
Okay. So we have just about 45 seconds left. 30 seconds or less. Can you just share with our listeners a final message?
I think that if they give themselves permission to get in touch with their intuition, they will be surprised at how much they can reduce the stress and anxiety in their life. Their intuition is a gift. It's a God-given gift. Give themselves permission to get in touch with it and to use it.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that it's kind of like one of these things that it's a, sort of a snowball effect. You know, once you open to it, you get more. And it's like, wow, There are messages everywhere.
Well, exactly. And, you know, there's this life of peace and harmony and joy that we're all looking for, and it's at your fingertips. All you've got to do is give yourself permission to start listening.
Wonderful. Thank you, Atherton, for joining us here today, and I appreciate you in the conversation and your new book.
Well, thank you very much. It's been my honor.
And thank you for joining us here today. Please follow me on Facebook, Christine Upchurch, and also The Christine Upchurch Show. You can go to christineupchurch.com to listen to archives and find out more about the work that I do. And I hope you have a fabulous day. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.